Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner. Rick, we're here in Gawler today.
We are.
The raining Gawler. It is pouring down here.
Well, it has been raining a bit, but anyway, all rain is good rain.
It can be.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't have to be out in it anymore.
Particularly with the way I work in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
AFL Grand Final.
Done and dusted. Didn't get to see it, Rick. I was holidaying on a houseboat and we didn't get
Sorry, listeners, I forgot to introduce you to Admiral Phil Fechner.
They were calling me Seaman Phil. I don't know what they meant by that, but anyway.
I think we should let you know, good listeners, that he took 16 seasick pills before he went onto the River Murray. And I heard that the conditions, you could have played billiards on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was beautiful. Anyway, we saw Melbourne get over the line there, Rick.
Oh, look, honestly, I mean, I know you've only seen a replay in bits and pieces. I'm going to make a big call. I honestly believe that it is one of the best and most entertaining games of football at any level, anywhere that I've ever seen.
Wow, that is a big statement.
Well, it is, and I'll tell you why.
What about the footy Port played a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, that was... yeah, well, that was memorable too.
Yeah, I haven't forgotten it.
I'll tell you why I thought the grand final was exceptional, in that not only was the standard of the game good, not only, and I don't know why, because it was incredibly intense as well, but it was almost, in today's standards, free-flowing, right? That out quickly. And then, on top of that, I mean, the number of goals scored indicates that a bit. And then, just to put the cream on the cake, the contrast, you know, it opened up as if there was no tomorrow for Melbourne. Yep. Then the Western Bulldogs, I honestly thought, they would come back. Yeah. And I actually can remember sitting watching it, saying to a good friend of mine. that if Melbourne didn't get the first two goals after half-time, they were sunk.
Yeah.
Well, they got more than a couple, but it was just a contrast and very, I thought, entertaining.
Well, Rick, at one stage, I think it was 29 seconds, three goals, Melbourne.
Yeah.
Well, Port haven't kicked a goal in 29 minutes. It takes them to kick a goal.
Well, that's right.
You know, and that is unbelievable footy.
And the contrast that, you know, when they went forward, it was open. You know, the ball was delivered perfectly. Simply things that Port Adelaide can't do.
Well, that Bailey French, if I've got his name right.
Yep.
Six goals. But easy, uncontested goals because they were set up.
They were, absolutely. You know, and compare that with Charlie Dixon flying against three of his own blokes, let alone the defenders.
That's right.
No one at ground level. And Melbourne's forward structure was everything that Port's isn't.
And good luck to him for getting six easy-ish goals.
Well, as my son said to me in discussion yesterday, actually, they probably will go down. Not only are they famous for six grand final goals, but probably the easiest six goals.
Yeah.
As you said, you've still got to kick them through.
Exactly right.
But they were delivered. They were almost uncontested. Yeah. It was done so well.
And he's kicked 40-odd goals this year.
Yeah.
That are fantastic for a sort of medium forward type player.
Yep.
What about Cozzy Pickett? He played a game like Motlop would, wouldn't he? No. Oh, okay.
Cozzy was just the work rate of that young man is unbelievable. That I hate to think how many K's that he covered. He did a lot of very, very clever things.
Yep.
Just off the ball, slight block, slight this, a number of occasions where I guess he didn't get
necessary a proper stat or whatever it might be,
worth a stat for somebody else.
Yep.
They're the sorts of thing that Port do all the time, aren't they?
No. And then we got the big fella, Maxi Gawn.
Oh.
What a character of the game too, isn't
it? Well, he is what used to be. It'll date me amongst our listeners, but I was a great fan of Carl Dietrich when he first burst onto the scene for Melbourne 100 years ago. And he was a personality. Now, in today's modern professional game, unfortunately, I don't think there are enough personalities. And Maxi is the saviour. He is the saviour you know, just his presence and his enjoyment of the game. And just while we're on that, we must have, I think we've both become Melbourne supporters, have we? Or?
Oh, no, but, well.
I honestly think that I saw the most memorable, skillful moment
again in a game of football. I've seen it a couple of times. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Tell me, what am I talking about?
Petrarca's goal.
Oh.
You know, and it wasn't only the goal, it was the lead up to the goal. Yeah. And then he's purposely dribbled that thing 30 metres through for a goal.
Yep. It's not having a go at anything that Eddie Betts has ever done from a boundary line forward pocket, but in the field of play, on the run, not a set shot.
Grand final.
That was sensational.
And 40 possessions to go with it.
And absolutely deliberately done. And, you know, I mean, it's very easy to sit back in your lounge chair and admire it. But when you think that that's happening with everything going on around you, having to make a split-second decision on what do I do now, and to have so calmly done it.
Yeah. And a critical time, like, you know, they were fighting back
And, you know, what an inspirational thing to do as well.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't by chance. Sure, they're professional players. They practice those sorts of things. But to execute it, as they say, on the big stage, Phil.
The big dance.
Yeah.
And I reckon, did he get the ball at the centre and whipped it out to Oliver for the next
goal? I think he did. Yeah. What was it? Three goals in 20 seconds?
20-something seconds. That was that. Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Now, the other thing is that I have sent away from my membership for Melbourne. The other thing that is almost scary, and I know the track record of, as it were, back-to-back premiers is not strong, but that Melbourne side has almost snuck up on us. They're full of kids.
Yes. Even a South Australian, they might have had a couple of South Australians in there, but Sparrow. I think it's his first season, maybe second season over there. Obviously his first grand final because Melbourne haven't been there for a while. But Bridgewater lad.
Yes.
Down at the Raiders, the Bridgewater Raiders.
Yeah. And what about the ex-Crow? He did all right for a bloke that, you know, Lever.
Oh, yeah, he's done all right, all Australian. Wouldn't they love it to have him down back? But anyway,
they do. The Crows do seem to have a unique ability to No players want to stay there.
No, well, what's his name? Kelly's gone. He's gone to Essendon.
Yeah.
Jake Kelly. Yeah. He's gone to Essendon.
I mean, there's got to be something strange. I mean, every side loses a player or two somewhere along the line, but the exodus from the Adelaide Crows is seemingly non-stop and ongoing.
But Tex is back.
Honestly, that's the best piece of news I've heard in a long time.
That means they're not going to go anywhere again.
Well, you know, it's I just cannot believe that. I mean, the excitement. Yeah, I mean, it's the only reason you'd get the advertiser to get the back page. Tex is back.
Tex is back. So next year they've signed him and he's ready to rock and roll. So.
Well, I mean, the one thing that the Crows have done, which I guess... He makes more moves than there are on a chessboard, but they've got Burgess as their fitness. Now,
but they've got to get the ball. They can be fit and be able to get the ball.
Meatloaf, like last show, you've taken the words right out of my mouth. You can be as fit as a Mallee bull. You can run around like a kangaroo, but if you haven't got the skills to get the ball, you're in strife.
Yep.
Now, Burgess... He's done a lot of good work everywhere he's gone. He's been at Port twice. Yep. He's been at English soccer clubs. But you're only as good as the cattle you've got to work with. And just because you can run the time trial better than you've ever done before doesn't mean you're going to get a kick.
No, that's exactly right.
And I still think that that the Crows will be lucky to finish above the bottom three or four.
Yeah,
again.
I agree. And I think they're aware of that. I think they're a side in the making, a very young side.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a few years before they.
And as I said, I mean, it is, I guess, to listeners, it sounds as though I'm knocking him a bit. But given that they are on the rebuild, and they acknowledge that, you acknowledge I acknowledge it, I cannot see the value in re-engaging Tex Walker.
I mean, neither can I.
All he's doing is keeping a young kid out of the side, which is their future.
Yeah.
They're not going to win a premiership while Tex is
there. Himmelberg in and Riley Thilthorpe playing a bigger role.
I do not see any concept
I'm with
of
you,
that.
Rick. So, just quickly, we've probably done enough on the AFL.
Well, we have, but...
You're right. Rance is back with Essendon. He's just doing a coaching role there.
What a player he was. I wasn't aware that he'd been involved so much and was missing footy. He's played a few VFL games.
He has, correct.
Yeah, it's interesting that he's chosen. But I think he's mates with a few of the Essendon blokes,
isn't he? Yeah, I
think so.
I think that's half the reason
he's gone there.
Yep, correct.
So before we finish the footy season entirely... We might put the joke in slightly
early.
Oh,
yes, it'd be a good spot for this joke.
I think it would be. Did you hear about the wife who looked at her husband and said, "Darling, I think you put football before our marriage"? He smiled and he said, "Darling, that's simply not true. After all, this is our fourth season together."
Rick, I celebrated my 36th season with my wife
the
other day.
Did you?
Yep.
That's come through a couple of retirements. Anyway, summertime.
Yep, summertime.
Cicadas whistling and humming in the air.
Oh, here we go.
Cricket, it's something to look forward to.
Oh, the Redback's on fire already.
Well, that's interesting.
Travie's making tons of runs. He's had the
160-odd.
He's had the phone call from Langer already.
Oh, Langer, interestingly enough, didn't ring him when he was in England when he made he batted 11 times and didn't get to 50 on any of those occasions. And yet he gets the phone call from Langer after batting on the Carrum-Rorton Oval, which is the most perfect batting strip you could imagine. Indication is that no one can get anyone out. Isn't
that the perfect pitch, Rick?
Oh.
Not if you're a bowler.
well, I honestly think, and it needs to be said, there are too many egos amongst people who are curators.
Yep.
Now, they want to be said that they make them perfect. Adelaide Oval, supposedly a great wicket. Well, the trouble is that, in my humble opinion, a perfect cricket pitch is one where there's something in it for both the bat and the ball. Now, when you make the millions of runs that they do on Carrum-Rorton Oval, I don't know how anyone can say it's a perfect pitch. Mm. It's a perfect pitch to bat on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the only way you get a result on Carrum-Rorton Oval is for the captains to manufacture a result by declaring. Now, they were so interested in that, they called the game off at tea time on the last day. Now, the sad thing is that is, given that the game in Queensland was cancelled moments before it was going to start between Queensland and Tasmania because of a COVID scare, there are no other Sheffield Shield games scheduled at all, programmed, not existing. It could be that the South Australian, Western Australian game that's just been done and dusted may well be.
Does that
the
mean
only
we finish bottom?
Well,
equal bottom.
Well, doesn't it mean we're equal top?
Or equal bottom.
That's right. But more significantly, the Ashes series, which I think everyone loves, whether you're a true cricket fan or not, that's got to be in jeopardy. Apart from anything else, half the Poms have put their hand up and say they don't want to come because they don't want to be in hubs. They can't bring their partners and family, etc. Stuart Broad, though, is interesting. He's put his hand up and said he's prepared to come.
Well, yes, you'll get plenty of wickets out here.
Well, they got so few are coming, he might open the bowling from both ends.
I'm waiting for the Afghanistan and Australia game. I want to see the Taliban bowling.
Phil, you missed the news.
What?
They've cancelled it.
Oh, I was waiting for that game.
But it'll be very interesting to see what Cricket Australia does. Obviously, there's dollars involved in a decision. However, does anyone care if it's a half-baked test series, Ashes? You know, if you've got half a weakened English 11 who basically have to pick anyone who puts their hand up to come, then it makes a mockery of the tradition, the value, and it downgrades the quality of the whole show.
Yep.
And to be honest, you know, if it's good enough for the Australian Tennis Open to be stopped, if it's also good enough for the Australian Grand Prix to be cancelled, rather than put on a half-baked effort, cancel the Ashes.
Yep, I agree. Can't agree with you more. Because what's the good of, you know, somebody, you know, coming, you're bowling against an Englishman that you don't even know.
Well, that's right. And,
you know?
And it's hard to, of course, you know, we can't guess what COVID's going to do.
No.
I mean, for instance, at the moment, South Australia's free of it, but that doesn't mean it will be next week. And so, you know, I feel for Cricket Australia.
Oh, absolutely. Because they had a bugger of a year last year, let's face it, and it's going to be the same.
Yeah, and, you know, the answer is to, you know, rather than pour good money into a poor investment because it may or may not go ahead, I think they'd be smarter to bail out.
Yeah,
They haven't got an answer out of England yet as to whether they're going to come or not come, whether they're going to bring a side. I mean, for instance, Root, who's the magnificent captain, and Underwood, the coach, they've stated publicly they're not keen to come if it's a half-baked side.
Yep.
And
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with them.
Well, folks.
Quickly, Rick.
Yes.
Last little bit of footy this weekend is Eagles versus Glenelg in the SANFL Grand Final. So, your quick tip?
I'm going to go for Glenelg because they've been top all year.
Yep.
And I'm a philosopher, as I think we've discussed on the show before. Hopefully, that the side that's top minor round goes top. So, I'm going for the Bays.
Yep, I'm the same.
All right. Until all right, next show, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.